Charlotte, North Carolina, and this recording is from one of our church services. For more information, visit our website at churchofphiladelphia.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message.
Your Bibles, come with me to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 7. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel, chapter number 7, starting at verse number 1. When you have it, say amen. Word of our holy God reads, it says, "And the men of Kirjath Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill, and sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, while the ark abode in Kirjath Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he would deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of the Lord did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and serve the Lord only. And Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah, and drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said there, We have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together in Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, Cease not to cry unto the Lord for our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering wholly unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them. And they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came on the Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and called the name of Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto have the Lord helped us. You can be seated in the presence of our living God, amen. As we're continuing with our current sermon series, dealing with the whore in your heart. Amen, dealing with the whore in your heart. And on last Sunday, we talked about it's possible for your actual heart to be the whore. And give us our definitions for the whore or prostitute that we've been consistently using. Hey, ready? You smiling? I'm just asking. Are you ready? Our definition that we've been using for a whore or prostitute is defined as one who violates his or her honor by offering to hire his or her body for base gain or for an unworthy doing, specifically for sexual intercourse. And so we know that God has an honor code. And we understand even in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 how the Bible talks about how our bodies are the temples of the Holy Ghost. Unless you yield your members to that of the enemy, your body becomes like the harlot. So, in other words, your body becomes like, or your members become like whores that the enemy is prostituting, using. And in a Bible study, we talked about how some of us, we have basically been prostituted by the enemy, how the enemy is just utilizing us for selfish gain, how the enemy is taking the honor, this body that God has designed to be his dwelling place, his temple here in the earth realm. But we have dishonored God by allowing our bodies to be used in a manner that's not being pleasing to God. And I'm not saying everything our bodies have been used in a manner where we talk about adultery or fornication. The fact that we sell ourselves to lying, or the fact that we sell ourselves or allow ourselves to be prostituted by deception or manipulation, or dare I say rebellion, that is still the enemy prostituting or using us. You follow what I'm saying? So the thing is, it comes down to the heart. We make a choice whether or not we're going to allow ourselves to be used by God, used of God, or be used by the enemy. So it is a choice of the heart. And so the title that we're working with today is, there was a war in the heart. Do you know somebody and can you relate? You know somebody. And I'm pretty sure you can relate that there was a war going on the inside of your heart. The heart, according to Hebraic traditional culture, is the place where decisions are made. The heart is a key component of the soul. And we understand that the soul consists of mind, intellect, heart, emotions, and your will. It also consists of character. This is the soul. But when you go into Hebraic culture, the heart was the place where major decisions were made. And we understand in the Hebraic terms that the heart, it is defined as the place that controls the inside. Prophet Benitez gave us a little bit better detail. Controls the inside life. It speaks about controlling what's on the inside, controlling the family, or controlling the inside house. That's what the heart does. Let me say it like this. Whoever is seated on the throne of the heart is the one that is in control. And for most of us, we truly want to believe that God is occupying the thrones of our heart. But in reality, it's not God. There was another being sitting on the thrones of our heart. And like we said, some days the heart itself is the whore. Some days it's your heart that's cheating on God. It's your heart that doesn't want to be close to God. It's your heart that's sliding away from God. It's your heart that becomes the opportunist, sees an opportunity and desires to take advantage of the opportunity. You know, where you're laying and praying before God, asking God because you really want to do this or you really need this. And so this is the only reason why you're really talking to God. You're talking to God because you want God to do something for you, but we don't want God to deal with us. We don't want God to examine us. In other words, we don't want God to love on us. Because one thing about whores understand in their line of work, this is not about love. This is about transaction. This is about get in, get out. This is not, because in my line of work as a whore, I understand time is money. I can't linger here with you unless you're going to pay what my next customer was about to pay. I'm not trying to get involved. Now, I'll listen to you all day long. I'll let you explain and say what you want to say, how your wife doesn't do this, how your husband doesn't do this, how you looking for this and looking for this, how you need this and need that, want this and want that. I'll let you tell me all of that because I'm getting paid. It's just a transaction. But it's not about me pouring out my heart to you. It's not about me trying to make a love connection with you because I understand this is a business. This is a business proposition. I can be whoever you want me to be in the moment. And isn't that just like many of us? We be who God wants us to be for the moment. In other words, I'll be a man of God for the moment. I'll be a woman of God for the moment. I can be a son for the moment. I can be a daughter for the moment. I can even be a pastor or a preacher for the moment. But when something that I really, really want comes, that's better than what I'm dealing with in this moment. Notice how we quickly and easily give up God, push God aside. So the text that we're dealing with is a war in the heart. Well, the heart is warring. There's a war based upon what my heart wants and what my heart needs. Oh, the reality, your heart may not want God, but the truth of the matter is your heart needs God. You can keep playing these games and telling yourself that I'm okay, I'm all right. What a deception. You lying to yourself from the pulpit to the door. You know what? I just have to make up my mind. God, I got to go back to the basis, God. I am nothing without you, God. God, if you don't put the words in my mouth, I don't even know how to talk right, God. I can't preach right, God. I can't teach right. I can't prophesy right, God. Unless you put the words in my mouth, God. I can't study right, God. I don't know how to love right, God. I'm a fail at being a husband. I'm a fail at being a father. I'm a fail at being a man, God. If you don't help me, God, I need you, God. There are a whole lot of things that I want, but I understand at the end of the day, I need God. Or y'all can sit there and act cute like you don't need God. But the truth of the matter is, you need God. I'm talking directly to you. You need God. Yes, you do. More than you willing to admit, you need God. But the reality is, there are a whole lot of things that we want, a whole lot of unfulfilled desires that we feel we have not gotten. And we'll pray to God and ask God to fulfill some of these desires, to give us some of these desires of our heart. But at the end of the day, my desire can't save me. It's the one that I need. At the end of the day, most desires that people actually get, they obtain, their desire actually end up having them. They don't have the desire. It has them. I need somebody who's going to have me, even when I don't want to be had. Let me put it like this. I need somebody that's going to keep me, even when I don't want to be kept. Now, the thing about a desire can't keep me. The truth be told, as much as I love my wife and as much as my wife loves me, the reality is she cannot keep me, though. I don't care how much she loves me. I don't care how much she's in love with me. Her love is not the love of God. It can't keep me. Same thing goes for her. My love can't keep her. The only thing that's keeping us is the keeper. So we're talking about this war. Now we understand as we move through this particular book, this book of Samuel, we understand chapter 1, Hannah is praying for a son. Do you know somebody where you've been there where you had a request that you just want God to, God, I need this. Hannah's praying, God, give me a man child. And if you give me the man child, I'll give him back to you. See, out of all the desires that you're praying for, are you willing to give it back to God if he give it to you? She's saying, if you give him to me, I give him back to you for the rest of his days. Just give him. I just want to birth him. But I'm going to give him to you. Let the priest raise him. Let him dwell in your house. When was the last time you gave your desire? Gave it to God. I'm talking about gave it to God for real. I'm not talking about the lip service, those games we play. But God, you can have this. And as soon as things don't go your way, you've taken your desire back from God. No, the only time she saw her son was at the yearly sacrifice. Once a year when they go up to sacrifice in Shiloh, made a little coat. I can imagine why she's sewing a little coat. Made him a new little coat every year to give him a new little coat. I can't wait to see my boy. She gets to see him once a year. Most of us can't handle that. You're not about to give your son to God. You're not about to give your son to a priest and let the priest raise your child. I don't know about the priest, because see, last time I heard, if priests be touching boys, priests be touching little girls, I ain't about, because see, God, I be done killed that priest, the old man of God. I be done killed him. See, that's me. Let me go ahead and tell the truth. The priest touch mine, God, that priest going to an early grave. He need to know. You understand? But I'm not even going to put my children in that predicament. God, you can't, some things you just can't ask me to do, God. I'm straight rebelling. I know I'm not by myself. Hey, I'm going to have to lay on the floor and really fast and pray and say, God, you got to help me, God. I don't know how to release my children where I cannot see my children, interact with my children, and just give them to somebody else. God, you got to help me. You understand? Hannah prayed, God answered her prayer and gave her a man child, and she gave him back to the Lord. And then when you move over to chapter 2, Hannah's giving God up. It's a psalm of thanksgiving where she's thanking God and telling God how awesome he is and telling God how wonderful he is. How you gave me a man child. To the priest begin to speak, Eli began to speak and say, blessed are Elkanah and you, that the Lord bless her with 3 more sons and 2 daughters. He gave her more children. She sold her son. Give it to the Lord. And reap 5 more children. Right? And then when we move over to chapter number 3, The young boy, he's ministering before the Lord, ministering unto the Lord as a little boy in the temple. Isn't it crazy? We can't get our youth to do nothing for Jesus. Oh, but they know the latest secular dance. They know the latest secular music. I'm talking about some of our children, all they know is the church. I'm going to talk about mine. Do you mind me talking about you, Shekinah? I don't care. I'm going to talk about you. Yeah, I'm going to talk about mine. You understand? All she know from the womb, every day I lay hands on her in the womb. I look, y'all know we have family or worship hour. We've been doing worship hour at my house from 7:30 to 8:30 every other Thursday. And I said, I almost wanted to get mad. I'm looking at my children prostrated, laid out on the floor asleep. I almost wanted to get mad. Because how dare you? I told you before we got here. Listen, get in the floor and pray. Don't you get in the floor going to sleep. But they sleep. I almost got mad. But look at the grace of God. God reminded me. He said, listen, look at it like this here. I know you want them to pray, but look at it like this here. They are accustomed to falling asleep when they hear you speak in tongues. They are accustomed to peace comes into their life when you pray to me, talk to me concerning them. Or whatever you're talking to me about, they've been laying on you from an infant. They've been hearing this in the womb. They are accustomed to hearing you speak to me, and it brings peace in their life where they've always just went to sleep. So you see how good God is. God will give you another way to look at it, because I was about to be pissing mad. I dare you get before God and you... Everything that we got going on, you better open up your mouth and pray too. Now, granted, they started off praying. But I bet you by after 7 minutes, they were over there snoring and slobbing. After 7 minutes. And we prayed it for a whole hour. Now, I almost was mad until God dealt with me about that one. I said, okay, God, I'm okay. But some of our children, all they know from the womb, things of God. This all they know, things of God. To now that they are so turned off from the things of God. And I'd be walking around my house scratching my head like, how can you be so turned off to the things of God when all you got to do is just look around you? No, you listen. See, mine, they don't understand. I got a plan for her. I'm going to grab them by the hand. She's kind of 14 years old, but I'm going to come in. I'm going to grab her by the hand. Let's walk in this room right here. Just look around. You see that ceiling? God did that. You see them paintings on the wall? God did that. You see this furniture in this room? God did that. Now let's go to the next room. You see that bed that you're laying in? God did that. Because if it were left to me, child, you'd probably be sleeping on a pallet right now. But God gave you that bed. See, sometimes you got to get that practical with them. God did this. You seeing me go pay for it with the money, but the money came from the Lord. He gave us the strength, the wherewithal, the understanding to go to the job and do our job efficiently, do it well. God did that. So don't you ever take that for granted. Don't you ever forget. No, God did this. You asking them, come on, give God some praise. They act like they don't have a reason to give God praise. But here you got a little young lad in the church, minister serving the priest of the house as well as he's serving God, learning the things of God, learning how to speak on behalf of God. Some of them know that they've been called to pass and prophesy. But because they want to fit in so bad, I don't want to be who God called me to be. Well, who is the world telling you are? Help me understand. Who did the world call you to be? Who did the world say you are? The world can't even identify you. They can't even putting labels on you, but God gave you an identity, and you have a problem serving the one that has given you an identity versus the people that is putting a label on you. And see, some of the children swear they so smart, smarter than us. You're so smart that you burn us stupid. Yeah, I said it. I hope you're offended by what I'm saying to you, because it's the truth. Oh, it's the truth. You should be offended. You're so smart to you stupid at times. You don't even have good sense yet. I'm telling you, some of these children don't have a... They, What sense does that make? You run into the world. What does the world give you? Nothing but hurt and pain. Nobody told you that it was going to be roses on this side. The truth of the matter, yeah, we experience pain over here. But even in the middle of my pain and in the midst of my pain, you know what? I know that I'm loved. In the midst of my pain, guess what? I know he's still with me. I ain't got to worry about it, but I ain't got to question whether or not he's there. Some days he's silent, but he's there. Well, there are some folk, they talking about they're going to always be there. And when you really need them, they are never there. And even when they try to be there, I'm going through something that you can't even help me with. So you might as well just not even be here. Got a young boy in the house ministering to the Lord. Serving God, giving God his all. He's been trained up in the things of God to speak on behalf of God. I'm trying to figure out what our youth are actually doing, right? So after he's called, we know God speaks a word to him. And God begins to confirm to Samuel at a young age, at a little boy, what God told an unnamed prophet or an unnamed man of God concerning the house of Eli. Because now this is the thing, we're told that Eli said something to his sons. He said, I'm hearing from the people the things that you're doing, and it's not right. But after you said something, Eli, when your words fell on deaf ears, you should have got up and did something. And God had a problem because the priests had young men, they had young servants. When the people would come and offer their sacrifice to God, the young servants, not the priests, the young servants of the priests. So imagine Elder Natar, a prophetess Natar, coming to bring her offering. I'm the young servant. Give me the best part of the meat for the priest. She responds, well, protocol says we have to burn the fat first. Give me the best part of the meat or I'm going to take it. God had a problem with how these young servants were handling his offering. He told them, you bring this offering a particular way into my house, and now you letting your little servants just mishandle my offering. I got a problem. On top of that, I have a problem because your sons are sleeping with the greeters at the door. The Bible talks about the women who served at the entrance of the tabernacle, the greeters at the door, the women folk. Your sons are sleeping with the women folk at the door. I have a problem that you said something, but you didn't do anything. He said, you're taking my offering and you've allowed yourself to become fat off of the choice meat. And isn't that what we have in the churches today? Because when you have sloppy leadership, the people are going to live sloppy lives. There are some people who are unwilling to even speak to sin. They don't even talk about it. They don't even preach on sin anymore. Everything is an issue. Or everything is a struggle now. And they encourage you to go get self-help. Listen to Oprah. Ayana can fix your life. No, they can't fix my life. Only God can fix my life. And the truth be told, you need to straight up tell them you need deliverance from that demon. Hophni, Phineas. Bound by lust, lasciviousness, bound by fornication, bound by adultery, bound. But yet the priest just spoke to her. These are your sons. Speaking to them wasn't good enough. When we move over into chapter number 4, the Philistines have come upon us. To where we lose 4,000 foot soldiers. And we go back into the camp saying, God, why did you allow us to be defeated? Somebody comes up with a bad idea. We need the ark. We didn't take the ark of the covenant into battle with us. In other words, we didn't go into battle with God. How is it, Eli, you allow your sons, Hophni and Phinehas, to take the Ark of the Covenant into battle. How dare you? With their foul hands, with their perversion, with their unsubmitted heart, you allow them to carry the presence of God into battle. But the unnamed man of God told Eli, it's going to be a sign to you because both of your sons are going to die on the same day. The Lord is saying not a one person in your family will live to see their old age. I'm going to cut them off in their early stages of life. You will not even have nobody that I'm removing your family from being the priest. I'm going to raise up me a faithful priest. And see, you don't understand. Look at what God is doing. God is cutting off the head of the unfaithful priest. Look around the nation, all the preachers, what they're talking about. They're following the trends of the world, but nobody's speaking and declaring what thus saith the Lord. God is not speaking what's happening in the world. This thing will get nobody excited, but it got me excited. I won't compromise his word. I won't compromise his truth. Not for a million followers on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. I won't compromise the truth of God. Guess what? I understand. They're not going to like me. Some of them are just going to hate me just for what I'm speaking about. It's all right, because see, there was a war going on in our hearts. Some of us want to be liked so bad that you compromise the call of God on your life. And we're not just talking about you compromising it on Facebook and Instagram and on Twitter. We're talking about your actual day-to-day, everyday life, how you interact with people. You compromise the call of God. You compromise the anointing that is upon your life. And I refuse to not tell you the truth. Baby, God is not pleased with you. And some of us don't even understand. We are running the risk of having the family lineage being cut off from who God has called us to be, because we refuse to change in our hearts. Oh, see, this is about a heart thing. This is about the heart that's perverted. How could you have sex on the steps of the tabernacle? It's the perversion that is rooted in your heart. How could you have sexual intercourse with the greeters of the tabernacle? It is because of the perversion that is rooted in your heart. It is because of the fornication that is bound in your heart. Your heart needs to be delivered. The whore some days is your heart, and it needs to be delivered. It needs to be saved. I know it's unpopular. I ain't going to get that many amens in life, but it's okay. But I'm going to say what thus saith the Lord. You can bet your bottom dollar on that one. We go into battle and we lose 4,000 of our men, and we go back and question God. God, how could you let us be defeated? We are your people. You're my people, but you're my perverted people. You're my people, but you're my rebellious people. You're my disobedient people. You're my fornicating people. You are my adulterous people. You are my whoring people. The whorish people. Yes, you are that people. So they move over and they battle. They get this idea, we're going to take the presence of God. Foul preachers, foul priests. And how many times you see foul preachers trying to operate in the things of God? Now, this is the thing. I've seen God use foul people. And the truth, it does look like some days it's the foulest one get used the most in the most tremendous way. You're thinking like, now, God, what in the world? I am over here fasting, praying. I'm trying to live holy as the best I can. I'm trying to obey you the best I can. And this foul devil, who you know is foul, you let miracles and signs and wonders come by way of their hand. They prophesied. It's so accurate, God. I'm over here sweating bullets. I hope that was the Lord. Lord, have mercy. What is really going on, God? And see, God was stepping and saying, no, I use whoever I have to use in the moment for the will, for my will to be accomplished. Even if it's an unclean vessel, for my will to be accomplished. Everybody that spoke to you wasn't all holier than thou. But you couldn't deny what they said was coming from God. So you got to get over that. But this level of perversion, this outward demonstration of perversion, in plain sight perversion,
playing, up to my insight, disrespecting the sacrifices of God, disrespecting the tabernacle of God, just open with it. Come on, God, it has to be something. So they go into battle again, taking the Ark of the Covenant. Because we know when we take his presence, we can't lose. But look at God. I'm going to still let you lose while I'm here. Matter of fact, when you go back to the prophecy that the unnamed man talked about, he began to prophesy and tell Eli and the house of the Lord, an enemy is going to come within. He's letting them know that an enemy is going to invade the presence of God. Because while we're in chapter 4, we go into battle again, taking the Ark of the Covenant into battle with us only to lose. This time, 30,000 men die. Not only did we lose 30,000 men, but we have just now lost the Ark of the Covenant. The Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant. Because when you understand culturally what it is, what is really taking place, is it is their God versus our God. The gods of the pantheon versus Jehovah. And because the Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant, it was customary that if we capture what you denoted to be your God, we're going to take it into our temple and place it right next to our God, signifying that our God conquered your God. Oh, I bless your wonderful name, Jehovah. God let himself be captured only to go into the temple of Dagon. When you placed me beside this false God, baby. And the very next day when you woke up just after having a major victory over the children of Israel and capturing the Ark of the Covenant, only to come find your God placed down. Oh, I wish somebody would go ahead and give Jehovah praise. Huh? He's the true and living God. He's the only real God. Yes, he is. You place your God up, and the very next day you come again, and my God knock your God down again, cut his head off, cut his hands off, saying, I am the true and living God, and beside me there is no other God. Why would you not give this God a praise? Comes to the point, Eli dies. Like the prophecy said, he falls over when he hears that the Ark of the Covenant has been captured. He falls over backwards and dies. Hears that his two sons have died, just like the word of the Lord said. Falls off of his little seat. And the Bible says he was a heavy man, eating the choice offerings. God set it up this way. For the priest, you would take of the offering. But you started messing with God's portion of the offering. God has a problem with it. And you begin to get heavy off of eating God's portion. And many theologians believe that's why him falling backwards off of his chair because of his weight. That's what caused his neck to break because of his weight. Because the Bible said when he fell backwards, his neck broke. Oh, he died instantly on the spot. But the word of the Lord was so that, yeah, you gonna suffer for this. The word of the Lord came. So even when God prophesied to Samuel, Eli said, tell me everything. Don't hide anything. Lest you hide anything from me, God deal with you severely. Because of his respect for the men of God, he told him everything that God said. Eli knew it was the truth because God had already sent an unnamed prophet with no reputation to prophesy to him. He said, he's God. If this seems good in his eyesight, let it be so. What was Eli saying? This is my confirmation. God is going to do what he's going to do. The truth be told, I don't even know how to prepare myself for what God is about to do. I just got to accept, embrace, and just move on. Because there is no change in what he said. How do you live with the fact that my sons are going to die? How do you live with the fact that I'm cutting off your family lineage from being my priest and I'm going to raise up somebody in your stead? See, I can't handle that. I say, God, don't hire me just to fire me, God. You knew when you hired me, God, I was a mess. Y'all ain't gonna tell the truth. You knew when you hired me, God, I struggled with obedience, God. You knew when you hired me, God, I struggled with fear someday. You knew when you hired me, God, I had a temper, God. You knew when you hired me, God, I struggled with lust. You knew when you hired me, God, there's some days, God, that I would be unfaithful, God. You knew when you hired me, God, I had issues in my heart, unresolved issues in my heart. You knew this before you ever called me, God. You knew this, God. overlook what you knew about me, God. But even though you knew what you knew, God, see my heart with all the issues and the pain, all the darkness and the wickedness that's on the inside of my heart. But see that portion of my heart that wants you. See that little piece of my heart that's chasing after you. See that little piece of my heart that's calling on your name, God. See that little piece of my heart that's saying, God, help me, God. I want to be right, God. I don't know how to do it, God. Help me, God. Help my mouth today, God. Help my eyes today, God. Help my feet today, God. Help my hands today, God. Help my body today, God. Help my soul today, God. If you don't help me, God, I will not make it, God. See that little piece of my heart, God, that's crying out to you, God. In the late night hours of the day, God. See that little piece of my heart, God, that's confessing to you, God. Yeah, I did this wrong, God. I said this wrong, God. I handled this wrong, God. Yeah, God, I wanted to cuss them out, God. I wanted to smack them in the face, God. I wanted to commit adultery with her, God. I wanted to knock him out, God. See. But there's a portion of me, God. I'm confessing, God, my sins before you, God. See that little small part of my heart, God, that wants to be right, God. I want to be close to you, God. There was a war that has taken place in your heart. There was a choice, a decision must be made. Eli dies. And we move over to chapter number 5. We see that they take the Ark of the Covenant and they place it in Dagon's temple. And we told you what happens. This was really about their God versus our God. And they believe, because they captured the Ark of the Covenant, that Dagon, their God, this false God, was greater than the true and living God. But God wanted to show them otherwise. Now, this is the thing. This is how you know it makes sense. When you go back to chapter number 4, it talks about when they went to go get the Ark of the Covenant after losing the first time in battle. They made a decision, we got to go get the Ark of the Covenant. And when the Ark of the Covenant came into the camp, the rest of the Israelites lifted up such a great cry, such a great shout. The Bible talks about how the earth shook. When will our praise get that high? When will our praise be that powerful that we shake and move natural things around us? Now, God hasn't did anything for us. He just showed up. The presence of God has just came into the camp. We have not went out into battle. He has not defeated our enemies. He just showed up, and we had such a cry that the natural earth shook beneath our feet. I'm talking about, when will we get to a place that when God shows up, God, I'm not asking you to do anything, but I just want to honor you because you're here, God. I just want to bless you because you're here, God. I just want to praise you because you're here, God. I want to worship you because you're here, God. Oh, I want to bless your name because you came, God. I want to give you the glory, God, because you manifested, you, because you showed up. Nowadays in service, folk are not trying to get God. They're trying to get as many people as they can get in the service and get them out in record time, only to file in another 1,000 members in the church. But where is the presence? We sing all our nice, beautiful songs. But where are the songs that are really pulling on the heart of God to come? Like the old church, they were saying, I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. And they were staying about 25 minutes. I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. And they'll keep saying the simplistic words of the song. I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. They're giving the whole church an opportunity to investigate some of the things that God has done for them. To remember some of the things that God has done for them. So you got a reason to give God praise. If you ever thought you didn't have a reason, all you got to do is think about some of the things that God has done. And it won't be before long that you'll find your hands going up saying, I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. And then they would switch it up and say, what he's done, what he's done, what he's done for me. Yeah, he's done so many things. The only thing I can say is, what he's done, what he's done, what my God has done for me. Then they switch it up and say, you don't know like I know what he's done for me, what he's done, what he's done, what my God has done for me. So y'all are still cute. You don't know like I know. Even when I talk about it, My speech is not articulate enough to even give you a thorough explanation of what he's done. You really don't know what he's done for me, because I can't even express it well enough to let you know what he's really done for me. All I can really say is, but God. Should have been dead, but God. Should have had HIV, but God. Should have had full-blown AIDS, but God. Ah, should have been turned down, but God. You don't know. You don't know. You just see me now. But Dion Kipling told me what? I don't look like what I've been through. That's nobody but God. You don't know what I had to get through in order to get to this moment right here. If I really had to tell you my life story, you would be amazed at why I'm still together, why I haven't lost my mind, why I haven't had a nervous breakdown, why I haven't committed suicide. You don't know what he's done. Like I know. Because if we tell the truth, some days I thought about taking myself out of here. Some days it got that bad where it was easy to take myself out of here. And see, the truth be told, most of us didn't have the courage or the strength to pull the trigger. Take a bottle of pills. So you resorted to, I'm going to take myself out of here by becoming a whore. Just prostituting myself. Dishonoring my body that God has given me. I'm going to take myself out of here by letting them mistreat me and mishandle me any kind of way. Compromising my identity. Compromising the call of God on my life. I'm going to settle. It's easier just to take myself out of here like that. Or maybe it's easy just not to get up. Let depression win. Let heaviness win. Well, I'm slowly dying, laying in my bed. I don't want to get up and deal with anybody because the grief is so intense. The pain hurts so bad. I'd rather just lay here and die. You don't know like I know what he's done for me. I told myself I'm not getting up, not coming out the house, not dealing with anybody no more. I'll just lay away and slowly die. But there was a God that began to speak to my heart and say, I have need of you. I've called you. There is purpose that you must fulfill. Get up! There was a God that would say, rise up! He would say, you should live and not die, to declare the works of the Lord in the land of the living. Live! You should live and not die. You don't know like I know what he's done for me. Capture the ark, and the presence of God is causing so much trouble in the company of the Philistines that they go to their elders and their magicians and say, what must we do? Because they're now coming to the conclusion he's a real God. They're remembering what they said. This is the God that put himself on display. Now we understand why it was such a great cry of the Philistines. This is the God that sent the plagues to the Egyptian, who made himself known throughout the nations. Their God has came to their rescue. So they were shocked even when God allowed them to capture his presence. But now that God is wreaking havoc while he's in the temple, what must we do? They go to their elders and their magicians. What must we do? I said, listen, we got to give this back to them. But they had the present mind, said, listen, God said don't send it back without an offering. We got to send an offering. Because God sent tumors for those who didn't die. God sent tumors upon them. And he sent rats in there. I said, what must we do? They took gold. They melted gold down in the form of rats and molded gold over the form of the tumors. You are the true and living God. We're going to give you this offering. You did this, but we're going to send this offering back. And so the Bible talks about how they took two cows, a nurse. Took some cows of a nurse. Separated them from the suckling calf. And if you know anything about, now I'm not a farmer, but I did a little study. And if you know anything about a mother cow that's nursing, she's not going to separate herself from a calf. If this is the real God, they attached this, the Ark of the Presence to this cow. If this is truly the real God, they will carry the Ark of the Covenant back to the Israelites. If not, then we'll find her trying to get to her calf. Bible talks about how the cow put their head down and marched straight to the... Listen, the cow had enough sense to put their head down. I don't need any distractions. My baby now is going to be a distraction. I don't care who's walking in the way. They're walking in the street. Men is not about to be a distraction. I'm going to put my head down. And I'm going to blind myself to all of the distractions. I got one mission, one purpose. That is to return the presence of God back to its rightful place. How is it that the cow has more sense to blind itself to the distraction, put his head down, and keep on pulling the presence? We are supposed to be carriers of the presence of God. Are you trying to tell me a cow can carry the presence better than you? The devil is a full-blown lie. The cow will not carry his presence better than I can carry the presence of God. Some of us miss, we carry the presence wrong because of this war on the inside of us. We'll put his presence down for a moment. Put his presence down for a thrill. Put his presence down for a boy. Put his presence down for a man. Put it down for a job. Put it down for Facebook status. Oh, but I wish somebody would stand up and carry the presence and carry it well. That the glory of God can be seen. That the glory of God can enter into the company of other people and change the lives of other people. We move into chapter number 6. And the ark has been restored. The people are grateful. They're thankful that his presence have come back. This is the thing. When we get down here, They couldn't even bring it all the way back to Shiloh. We gotta make a pit stop. They are unworthy. So we get here in chapter number 7. It says, and the men of Kirjath Jearim came, and they fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab. Abinadab in the Hebrew is talking about my father is willing. His name means my father is willing. As wretched as they are. Oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, wicked man that I am. Oh, evil man that I am. Oh, rebellious man that I am. Oh, stiff-necked, hard-headed man that I am. Oh, perverted and lustful man that I am. But my father is willing to still deal with me. My father is willing to still come close to me. My father is still willing to perform what he said about my life. They fessed up and they brought it into the house of Abinadab and they sanctified Eliezer. Eliezer, he doesn't have a license. He's not of the Levitical priests. But they set him apart. There was something about his life that God would allow this man to watch over his presence. Now his house is blessed because the presence is there. Oh, you want peace in your house? Get his presence there. Oh, you want some joy in your house? Get his presence there.
You want stability in his house? Get his presence there. You want your needs fulfilled? Get his presence there. We keep trying to do it without the presence of God. See, I've been there where I became so independent at times. I didn't need God to study. I know how to go and get 3 points. I know how to preach and teach 3 points. Oh, but when you want the glory to show up, you can't do it without his presence. When you want to be results, you can't do it without his spirit. We keep trying to do things without the presence or the spirit of God. Son,
watched over the presence. I'm just saying to myself, this boy Eliezer is watching over the presence of God, going in and out before the presence of God. Who knows all the things that might have been revealed to him? Who knows what this boy might have seen by dwelling in the presence of God? What he might have experienced, or dare we say even encounter, by the presence of God being in his house. I can imagine he go out there and mess up. But this God, he sits between the tips of the wings of the cherubim called the mercy seat. He understood, I messed up, but I'm going home to mercy. If I could just get home, mercy is there. I messed it up real, real bad, y'all. But if I could just get home, mercy is there. I messed it up real, real bad. But if I could just get home, forgiveness is there. I messed it up real, real bad, y'all. But if I can get home, love is there. Kindness is there. And because of his love and kindness, he's drawing me close. I get close to him and I fall down on my knees and I say, oh, wretched man that I am, but I know that you love me, God. I messed it up real bad, but you still love me, God. I messed it up real bad, but you got a plan for my life, God. Oh, if I could just get home to his presence. See, you keep going home to a mess. You keep going home to an argument. Y'all not gonna help me, but I'm gonna help you real good. You keep going home to a fight. You keep going home to an unsaved spouse. You keep going home to unruly children. You keep going home to bills mounting up. You keep going home to a house full of pressure. You keep going to a bunch of I don't know that, and I don't know what we're gonna do. But if I could just get to his presence, huh, I would have peace of mind. I would have peace of heart. Why? Because the God of peace is dwelling in my house. And it came to pass by the ark of bold and the carriage of Jerem that the time was long, for it was 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after God 20 years without his presence. 20 years. Mind you, in chapter number 3, the Bible told us during the call of Samuel that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were rare. Even though God may not be speaking in a multitude, we had his presence though. Now we don't even have his presence. 20 years. Day in and day out without his presence. Y'all, I've been there in my pride. Oh yeah, in my pride, because I know God called me a true worshiper. He said, I call you a true worshiper. I know how to worship God. It don't take me long to worship God. I can just sit, fix my mind on God. And I'm telling you, I can enter into his presence just like that. Well, people who he have not called to be true worship, does not mean you don't worship. You have to come by way of the gates, the courts, and then enter into the most holy place. I know how to fix my mind on God and know how to just enter into the holy place. That's what a true worshiper, I can bypass the gates and the courts. I got pride for that I knew how to worship better than other people. I got pride for that God would speak to me in his presence. And other folk were struggling to hear his voice. He said, you with all your pride, this is what I'm going to do for you. God stopped speaking to me for 2 weeks.
I'm talking about in services, hearing the word, but the word didn't make sense to me. I will hear prophetic words come to me, but the prophetic words didn't make sense to me. He said, I will fix you. You will hear, but you will have no understanding of what I'm saying. Oh, you talking about, I thought I was going crazy. I thought I was losing my mind. I'm crying out saying, God, let anybody speak to me, God. If you got to let the dog talk to me, let the dog talk to me, God. I just need you to talk to me, God. See, it's nothing like God letting you feel his presence, but he don't talk. I was accustomed to feeling his presence with him talking. I'll touch you to let you know I'm here. But it's not my presence that you're dependent upon. It's my word. Yeah, there are pleasures within my presence, but your life is hinging upon my word. Do you understand? There is no life without his word. And I felt like I was losing my mind. The truth be told, I felt like I was dying because God wasn't speaking to me. 2 weeks, y'all. 20 years. Some of y'all, every day you going about your day-to-day routine and you have not heard the voice of God. You talk to God, but you didn't give God an opportunity to talk back to you. You told God all about what you want him to do, but you didn't wait for God to give you instructions what you should do about what you want him to do. There is a war going on in your heart. You want to talk to God, but you don't want to listen to God. You want God to move for you, but you don't want to obey God. Oh, but something has to change. You have to submit your rebellious, stiff, wicked heart to God. The Bible talks about how they lamented, they wept, and they cried. Lamented talks about how they mourned after God. To the mourning eventually turned into a wail. We can't find nobody that wants to wail anymore. Where are the wailing women nowadays? The women don't even cry no more because the women are so bitter and mad about some of the men in their lives. Today, their tears have dried up. They have stopped crying before the Lord. Yeah, you got to dance. You know how to come in here, dance. You know how to come in here, raise your hand, shake your tambourine, jump a little bit. But where are the weeping women? Where are the wailing women that will lay on the altar? We need some wailing men that will lay before God. Pour your heart out to God and stay there till God bursts a change in you. Some of the hearts in this room right now are so hard as I'm preaching up here, under the anointing. There are some people that are still unbothered. There are still some people unmoved about what God is having to be declared right now today. Why? You ought to submit your hardened heart to the Lord. You keep saying, I don't know what to do. I'm tired. I'm fed up. If I don't see something change, God, you change. You looking for everybody else that you change. You praying about their heart. No, he want to change your heart. You talking about their jacked up mind. He want to deal with your jacked up crazy mind. You change. He wants to deal with you. We're not saying God will not talk to you about other people. But 9 times out of 10, when God comes to talk to you, he's going to talk to you about you. You change. You should be fed up. I don't have his presence. This devil keep running rampant in my house because there's no presence. I haven't given place for the presence of God, but I have given place for the devil. Oh, here we come to the meat of the text. And the prophet. Oh.
See, you need a prophet, you need a man of God, you need a true woman of God who is not going to compromise what God is saying. I don't care how you look at me, whether you want to receive it or not, that's A-okay, but it's not going to change what God is saying on today. Whether you allow God to deal with your heart, whether you allow your heart to be changed, it is not going to change what God has spoken. Matter of fact, guess what? There was a cloud of witnesses that are actually recording everything that is being said, and that cloud of witnesses is also recording your response. It's recording your action to what God is releasing in the house. So whether you receive it or not, baby, that's going to be between you and God. But it won't be because I did not come to do what God told me to do. Only thing I can do is just pray for you after this word is, I can just pray for you. The immediate text says, Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, the nation. Gather all the men. I don't care about your job. Gather all the men. I don't care about you out in the field, in the pasture, taking care of them. Gather all the men. I don't care if you just had a baby. Get on up out of your bed, your nursing bed. Get on up. Gather all the children. I don't care if they're sitting down eating their SpaghettiOs, ABCs and 1, 2, 3. Get them up. The prophet is calling. God wants to speak to the entire nation of people. A key word. If. Come on, English major. If. I just wrote this down about if right here. This is what I just wrote down. It is the result or effect of something that may happen. There is a result or something may happen. If. Because what God understands, some people are going to hear this word and they're going to walk away still unbothered, still unmoved. So that's why he has to put it in the if. But even if there's just one, God would send this word just for that one who was saying, God, I needed this word. God, I felt like I was dying on the inside. God, I feel like I was losing it on the inside. God, I feel like I was breaking down on the inside. God, I was struggling whether or not I even wanted to be saved anymore. God, I was the one you kept talking about when you was talking about the backslide. God, I was so afraid, God, that I was going to completely walk away from you. But today, if you forgive today, if you stop being arrogant today, if you stop being rebellious today, if you stop being fearful today, if you stop holding on to grudges today, if you do return unto the Lord. He said, come on, if you do return unto the Lord with all your heart. You can't give me half of your heart. You can't give me a quarter percentage of your heart. You can't give me 75% of your heart. He says, I want it all. I want it all. I want it all. I want the dark secrets. I want the skeletons and all. I want the thing you said you would never tell nobody about. I want the thing that keeps you up at night. I want the thing that angers you. I want the things that brings you fear. I want the things that trouble you. I want the thing that gives you an excuse not to yield, not to submit. If you return to me with your whole heart, I want the excuses. Oh. I want all of your excuses. I want your bitterness. Come on. I want the wretchedness of your heart if you return back. I want the lies that you told yourself. I want it. I want the unforgiveness of your heart. Yeah, you forgave everybody else, but forgive yourself. Give it to me. Give it to me. Ah, yadabaho. Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me. Ah, I want it. 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 Give it to me.
The hardness of your heart, I want it. Give it to me. The perversion, give it to me. I want it. I want the resentment. I want that anger. Give it to me. Yeah, you still holding on to what they said? You still holding on to what they did? I want the anger. I want the anger. I want it. I want it. Yes, they was wrong, but I want your anger. Give it to me. If you return.
Oh, the unforgiveness of the heart. He's calling for it. He's calling for it. I want your pride. Come on. Ah, da 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 ba so rebebebe miasa. I want the pride. Da da ba ma mando bo 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 koga. I want the pride for heart. Bring it to me. Get the best yam da bo bo koga. I want the pride for heart. Bring it to me. Yes, I want your pride. Bring it to me. Bring it to me. Bring it to me. I want the doubt for heart. Bring it to me. Bring it to me. I want the unbelieving heart. Bring it to me. Bring it to me. I want the unteachable heart. Bring it to me. Bring it to me. I want the heart that's not committed. The heart that's not devoted. That unloyal heart. That untrustworthy heart. Bring it to me. He says, then. He tells us over in the book of James 4. Submit to God. He wants that unsubmitted heart. That heart that wants to be in control. He wants that suspicious heart. He wants that ungrateful heart. That heart that's not loyal, I want it. 1 week you were all in. Next week you back to your selfish ways. I want it. I want it. I want it. I want it. I want the selfish heart. Yeah. That heart that is afraid to give itself. I want the selfish heart. Bring it to me. He says, submit yourselves to God. You keep trying to resist the devil, but there is no resisting the devil unless you first submit. I want the heart that is afraid to honor. Bring it to me. Because when you look at all of this text, it's talking about honor, 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 honor. God has an honor code. God has an honor code. Whether you agree with my will, you obey, that is honor. Whether you like it or not, you just obey, that is honor. Whether you agree with it or not, but you do it, that is honor. Whether you think it's the right time or the wrong time, but you do it, that is honor, because God said it. Ah, this is about your honor. You will not resist the devil unless you submit to God first. Submit to God your unruly heart. He said, then he will flee from you. Your power is in your submission. You think because you stood up, I bind you, devil, in the name. You standing with an unsubmitted heart. You prostrating with an unsubmitted heart. You fasting with an unsubmitted heart. You praying with an unsubmitted heart. You are praising and worshiping with an unsubmitted heart. And you expect God to do things. But he said, how can I do it when you're unsubmitted? And this is why you're looking at God through the wrong lens. Mad and upset with God because God didn't honor your prayer. Why would he honor your prayer when you got iniquity in your heart? Bring me the heart that's full of iniquity. I want it. That heart that's full of sin, I want it. That hurting heart, I want it.
That painful heart, I want it. That broken heart, I want it. Except you bring it. You keep thinking God finna just reach down and pull it out. No, bring it. That's why we're talking about the sacrifice. You present your body as a living sacrifice. Huh? We told you that the heart is a component of the soul. The soul is one of the bodies. You are a tripart being, meaning your outer layer is the flesh. The second layer is the soulish one. Your third, it is of the spirit. He said, present your bodies. Bring your soul. Meaning, bring your heart. You present it as a living sacrifice. Tell God all about it. He's not afraid of what's in your heart. He already knows what's there. Tell him about it. I hear you, Lord. He said, I won't be offended, heart. Ooh. Oh, somebody offended. I won't be offended, heart. Offended by what people have said to you. Offended by what people have done to you. Offended by people said they would be there and they were not there. Offended by people disappointing you. I want the offended heart. You believe they lied to you. Some of us are even offended with God. But bring him your offended heart. So if you do this and you return to the Lord with all of your heart, he says what? Then put away the strange gods. Put down your idolatry. Because this were a people who were accustomed to whoring, chasing after other gods, going after everything but God, going after everybody else but God. Put away your strange gods. There was a strange fire. Oh God, step out this strange fire, God. The strange fire that rises in prayer, God. The strange fire that rises in praise, God. The strange fire that rises in worship, God. The strange fire that rises in confession of sins, God. It's a strange fire. Stamp it out.
Oh, because it's mixed with the worship of other things. Oh, he wants the impure heart. Oh, come on, that heart that has a mix on the inside. A little secular, but some holy as well. No, when you mix holy with unholy things, it's called profane. Oh, it is called profane. Holiness is the separation. Separate yourself. Be ye holy, for I am holy, says the Lord. Come out from amongst the unclean thing and be ye separated. Put away the mixture. No bitter and sweet coming out your mouth. Clean it up. No thinking about God when we're in church. But as soon as we leave church and around the people of God, your mind reverts back to pornography. Your mind reverts back to cussing. Your mind reverts back to thinking about fornication. Your mind reverts back to lying. You revert back to being angry. You pick all of that stuff back up and walk back, put it away. It's profane. You say, put away the strange gods. Ashtaroth, female goddess of the Canaanites. Goddess of fertility. God of sex and fornication. I want the heart that's committing adultery on me, says the Lord. I want that adulterous heart. I want that fornicating heart. I want it. 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 I want the whoring heart. I want it. I want it. That's the heart that I want. I want it. I want it. Bring it to the altar. I want the uncommitted heart. I want it. The unloyal heart. The undevoted heart. I want it.
Fertility also denotes prosperity.
I want the heart that is consumed with money. I want it. Mammon has become your God. I want it.
He said, I want it. I want it. He said, and prepare. After you put away these strange gods and Asherah from among you, he said, and then prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve him only. Prepare, establish, fix your heart to serve no God but God, the Lord Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the triune God, the true and living God. Beside him there is no other God. He is the great I am. He is the I am that I am. He's the Holy One of Israel. He is Elohim. He is the faithful and true God. Oh, he's the righteous God. He's the Lord of hosts, the God that fights for us. Ah, he's your Savior. He's your Deliverer. He's your Redeemer. He's your Restorer. He's your Defender. He's your Protector. Serve this God. He said that he would deliver you out of the hands of the Philistines, known for their giants. I know some of you feel, well, fear is just, it's so big. You don't know how much fear I deal with. You don't know how much low self-esteem I deal with. You don't know how much I struggle with my self-worth. You don't know how much I struggle with anger. So it seemed to be so great that it just overtakes me someday. You don't know how much I struggle with rebellion. You don't know how much I struggle with lying. It is so great. But because that giant is coming for you, because that giant is trying to fight you, I hear the words of David. You have defied the God of Israel, the Lord of hosts. Because this giant is attacking you, it has come against God. God wants to weaponize you in order to take this giant down, but you got to give him your heart. In order for you to be used by God to defeat this giant in your life, you must give God your heart, surrender your heart so you can trust God. He says, then I will deliver you out of the hands of the Philistine. Go. He says, what? And the children of Israel put away Balaam and Asherah and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah. Gather them all to Mizpah. And he told us, what? Even we go to Mizpah, get to the watchtower, the place that is called the watchtower, because I want you to see what God is about to do. I said, sometimes you got to get high so you can see over the plains. So you can see over the distractions. So you can see over the fear. So you can see over the anger. So you can see over the bitterness. So you can see over the unforgiveness. So you can see over your rebellion. So you can see over your pride. So you can see what God is about to do when you give him your heart. Samuel said, gather all of Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. See, you better thank God. When God wasn't hearing you, God still heard the cry of somebody in your camp, though. Oh, God, thank you. I wasn't always right to get a prayer through, but there was somebody in my camp that God heard the cry of them on my behalf, saying, deliver that boy, there was a call in his life. Deliver that girl, there was a call in his life. God, you put purpose in them, God. Don't let them die with purpose unfulfilled. You better thank God. God got a man or a woman of God who has not bowed down to the other gods, but stay standing with their ear at attention to hear the voice of God. Yeah, your grandmama may be gone, but she prayed for you. Oh, that you are God's answer prayer to her. Because you hear, you in the things of God struggling, but you're here. Don't obey all the time, but you're here. You struggling real, real bad, but you're here. Oh, grandma got a prayer through on your behalf. He said,
And they gathered together at Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord. They drew water. This water serves as a sign of witness. This water serves as a sign that we've just poured out ourselves before you. We're pouring out our hearts before you, God, like you said. And then the Bible declares that they fasted. I know you don't want to hear the word fast. But you might have to fast to rend your heart. You might have to fast in order for your heart to change. You might have to fast in order for God to deal with your heart real, real good. In order for him to get down in the crevice and in the cracks of your heart. In order for him to get in them locked up rooms, chambers of your heart. You may have to fast so the locks can be torn and broken up so he can get deep, 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 deep down in your heart. Listen, after they poured out that water and poured out their confession before the Lord and fasted, they begin to say, we have sinned against the Lord. See, you don't want to acknowledge that you're a sinner. I'm talking about in the church, tongue talking, leaping for joy self, run around the church, hand clapping and foot stomping, all of that good stuff. But you don't want to admit that you are a sinner some days. Well, I'm going to raise my hand. Preaching on the microphone with your crazy stuff some days. I'm going to raise my hand. Some days I've sinned against him, y'all. Yes, I have. I did half of what he said. Sin. I did 75% of what he said. Sin. I did 99% of what he said. Sin. They confess we have sinned against the Lord. And then Samuel judged the people. What is Samuel looking at? I gotta look at your heart. I gotta judge what you're saying in the realm of the spirit. I must discern the words of your speech. So he judged him at the place of watchtower. Before you can watch what God is about to do, come receive what God has to say. What God is going to do. Because don't want God to get your enemies, but don't want God to get you. False balance. If you're wrong, we know your enemies are dead wrong, but don't want God to get your enemies who are dead wrong, but you wrong and don't want God to get you. False balance. It is an abomination unto the Lord. God, I'm wrong. Get me too, God. But see, you better know how to pray. When you get me, God, just be merciful. Just be merciful, God. Deal with me, but just be merciful, God. Deal with me, but don't kill me, God. Deal with me, but don't fire me, God. Deal with me, but don't lay me off, God. Deal with me, God, but keep me, God. Deal with me, God. Oh, when you deal with me. He says what? And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the Lord of the Philistines went up against Israel. When the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid. You got his presence back, but you're still afraid. Go, he says what? And the children of Israel said to Samuel, don't stop crying out to the Lord for us. Oh, my mama tell you, don't you stop praying for them girls. Don't you stop praying for your grandbabies. Don't you stop praying for your brothers. Don't you stop praying for your sisters. Don't you stop praying for your unsaved daddy. Don't you stop praying for your unsaved mother. Don't you stop praying for your unsaved aunts and uncle. Don't you stop praying for your unsaved cousins. Don't you stop praying for your unsaved friends and co-workers. Pray! It says, cease not to cry to the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. So you got to lay down your pride and say, keep praying for me. I was talking to somebody yesterday. No, she's supposed to be here. Now, I gave her the benefit of the doubt. I said, listen, I'll see you in about 4 years. Because I believe I'm supposed to be your pastor. She said, I know, you are. She said, but I want to tell you it's not going to take that long. Don't stop praying for me, is what she said. Don't stop praying for me, is what she said. I know what I'm doing is not right, but don't stop praying for me. She's saying out of her own mouth, it's not going to take 4 years. I'm coming sooner than that. Don't stop praying for me. I'm working some things out, but don't stop praying for me. I know I look a little rebellious right now. I'm still a little rough around the edges, but don't stop praying for me. I'm struggling to do things right, but I'm attempting, but don't stop praying for me. When trouble hit their life, they listen. When trouble hit their life, and they know the trouble is greater than what they can handle, they got the wherewithal to call somebody and say, listen, this is too much for me. Will you pray? I just experienced that. Somebody I haven't heard from in a couple years called me. Pastor Lincoln, I'm going through some stuff. And I just begin to tell him, listen, I couldn't tell you back then because your mind wasn't prepared to hear what I was going to say. But now that you have experienced it, yes, it is witchcraft. Oh, yes, 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 yes. It is witchcraft all up in the house. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, you want to understand those are spirits moving, roaming throughout the house, pushing, moving stuff, making noise. Yes, it is real. You feel like you're about to lose your mind because when you leave, when you look, it's gone? Oh, yes. That's what the enemy wants, for you to have a mental breakdown. But they had the presence of mind to pray, to call somebody who can get a prayer through and said, don't stop praying for me. No, they not right. Heard what I had to say, received it, and said, don't stop praying for me. You know what I tell my leader? Don't stop praying for me. Man, listen, you gave me some big shoes to fill. I be messing this thing up some days, but don't stop praying for me. Some days I get on my nerve. Don't stop praying for me. He said, well, I'm getting out your way. I'm trying to get out your way. I'm trying to get out your way. He said, and Samuel took a second lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. Oh, he gave an offering. Now, I said, I know prosperity, the prosperity gospel has messed you up with your giving and stuff. But sometimes you got to give. If you want God to do what you've been praying for and asking, it look like it has not happened, sometimes you got to give. Because guess what you giving? It is humbling your heart. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This thing is about submit. It is when you give, it is you submitting your heart to God through the form of you giving. What the Bible said, he gave the whole. Tell me, man, hold on. He said he was. What verse am I on? What, 10 or what? Hey. And offered it for a burnt offering, whole, the entire offering. He didn't debate whether or not he was going to give it. I don't know. I don't know. Why I couldn't pick that little lamb? I don't know. Why I had to be that little lamb? Like, why I couldn't get an adult lamb? Man, he didn't have to go check with nobody. I'm going to give you the whole. And when I give you the whole, I'm giving my whole heart when I give it to you. See, sometimes you better name your seed that you're giving to God. This seed that I'm giving God, I'm giving it with my whole heart because I want you to change my whole heart. I want you to deliver my whole heart. I want you to save my whole heart. Y'all know we ain't no ministry about money. What you give is what you give because we already know God is going to provide. But I'm in the book. The book saying, in order for some things to change, you're going to have to give. I'm not telling you to come up here and bring no thousand. I'm not telling you. I'm not even telling you what to give. You pray to God. It could be what you had already planned to give. But I'm saying give it with a different mindset. Give it with a different mindset in your heart. Give it with a different understanding in your heart. That when I give this to you, I'm giving it to you, God, with no strings attached, no restrictions, no limitations. I give it to you completely, wholeheartedly, freely. I bring it to you. He says, and the Lord heard him. He says, what? And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. Last verse, he says, what? Oh, and the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came unto Beth Kar. Give me the last one. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and called the name of it Ebenezer. saying, hitherto have the Lord helped us. Ebenezer in the Hebrew is interpreted as God has helped us. Not only did he present the offering before God, the stone in Hebraic culture symbolized a memorial. And they tell you, don't you mess with the old ways. Don't mess with the memorials. The memorials are reminders of this way God helped us when the Philistines came upon us. Well, the Philistines were defeating us. This is where God helped us when we without the presence of God for 20 years. But this is where God dealt with our hearts when we returned back to him wholeheartedly. He helped us. There are stones that God is trying to take you back to in your life. For you to make the right choice of this war in your heart. Sometimes you got to go back to those stones, those places of memorial where you had an encounter with God. Where your heart can become back salt towards God. At the place, for some of you, it's in your bathroom. You got to go back to the bathroom. Some of you, it's in the shower. Start crying again in the shower while you're talking to God. For some of you, it's in your car while you're riding to work. Talk to God again. For some of you, it's right on the side of your bed. But then for some of you, it's in your closet. Go back to the closet. He wants to remind you. For some of you, it's a favorite passage of scripture. See, one of my two favorite prophets in the Bible are Samuel and Jeremiah. And God took me back to a memorial about my own life. When God spoke to me in his audible voice, I was praying the scriptures in Samuel chapter number 3, saying, God, speak to me as you spoke to Samuel. And just like God called Samuel by his name, God called me by his name. I'm saying, scared the dickens out of me, y'all. I ran to that front door. I got ghosts for real. Oh! Oh, yes, I did. I got ghosts. I stood at the door, and I remember my mom came. They pulled up in the driveway. It's like, what's wrong with you? I said, Mom, somebody called me, but I know I'm in this house by myself. And right then the Lord spoke to me in a whisper. The whisper was so loud in my spirit. He said, you asked me to speak to you. I was young, y'all. I really didn't have no clue that I was asking God to speak to me in his audible voice. I was just zealous for the Lord. I was just praying the scripture. But he took me back to the pages of that book this week. He said, I'm going to take you back to a memorial. Well, you had an encounter with me. I spoke to you in my audible voice. You know what I begin to tell God? Raise it up. God, I'm desperate for you. I just begin to tell him, God, if I don't have you, God, I'm lost without you. And see, I just begin to just say it over and over, God. I'm desperate for you, God. The truth is, God, there are a lot of things that I want, God, but nothing and no one compares to you, God. This war that I'm dealing with down in my heart, God. At the end of the day, God, I'm going to always choose you, God. At the end of the day, God, I want to choose you, God. Over the thing that I believe I want. Over the thing I believe that I love, God. I want to choose you, God. You matter more to me than the thing, than the he, than the she, than the it, God. Because I'm desperate for you. And I recognize if I don't have you, God, I'm lost without you. All I can say is tell God, God, I need you. When things are going good in my life, God, I need you. When things are turned upside down, God, I need you. Early in the morning, I need you. By 9 o'clock in the morning, I need you. And in the midday, God, I need you. Round about 4 or 5 o'clock, traffic. When 5 o'clock, God, I need you. Oh, my stomach is growling, God, and I ain't got no money to spend, God, I need you. When I get home, my children are fussing. about a bunch of nothing. God, I need you. When I'm trying to figure out where the money's going to come from to pay these bills, God, I need you. When I'm trying to make sense of my life and don't understand what the next move, what the next step is, God, the next instruction or direction is, God, I need you. That is my heart's cry, God. I need you to help me to be the best father to my children. I need you to help me to be the best husband to my wife. I need you to help me to be the best leader for the people, God. I'm not here for them to like me, God. I'm here to lead them. I need you because some days I want to be like. But I recognize, God, I need you. This is the place when we gather. When we come and submit our hearts to God, this is the place where God will help us.
I need you.
So, in the words of the Apostle Paul, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, for this is your reasonable service unto the Lord. I beseech you therefore, brothers, that you return unto the Lord with your whole heart. Give it to him. That anxious heart. That worried heart. Give it to him. He wants it all. Come on, put your hands together for Jesus. Come on. Come on, we're saying put your hands together for Jesus. You better stop. Sing it. Don't stop though. Oh, come on. This is my heart's cry. Hey! Ha! Come on, gather the offering bucket.